Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Community Is Our Middle Name podcast, proudly brought to you by Grampians Community Health. Grampians Community Health, here for you, your family, and our community. My name's Gareth Oliver. Thank you once again for being part of another episode. And this episode, we are speaking Dry July, and we're talking Amy Sinclair's Dry July journey. And it's a very personal one, and you'll hear Amy explain a bit about that in the podcast. And Amy also touches on some of the alarming stats about how alcohol wreaks havoc on our health. So it's a really interesting conversation. I will let you guys get into it right now. This is the Community Is a Middle Name podcast, proudly brought to you by Grampians Community Health, for you, your family, and our community. Amy Sinclair joins us on the Community Is Our Middle Name podcast to talk all things Dry July and her personal Dry July journey. Amy, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
You're welcome, Gareth. Thank you for having me.
It's, what, about a week and a half into July as we record this. And we're just talking before we started recording that you've already reached your fundraising target. So how amazing is that?
Yeah, it's been good. I suppose I'd like to say that we've sort of smashed it out of the water. Solo had a target of 300 and have reached that, but put together a team and have absolutely, well, over doubled our target with that at the moment.
That's amazing. And you guys should be really proud of that, and well done to everyone who's donated so far as well.
Yeah, very thankful to our donations and the people who are sponsoring us and the support that we're getting from them as well. It's nice to see it.
So we'll put a link to your Dry July fundraiser in the show notes as well. So you mentioned the team. Who's in the team with you?
My partner is my main team member, and then I have got a friend of mine, well, two friends of mine actually, a very close friend, and one who I made friends with last year.
Excellent. And what made you want to do Dry July?
There's a lot of reasons why I wanted to do Dry July. I guess the campaign itself is a collaboration of two major things in my life. I've had family who have been affected by cancer in many ways, and alcohol has been a big part of my life as well, and addiction in general. I guess I've lost some of the people who are closest to me. Either they've lost their lives or they've struggled with and overcome, you know, the magnitude of addiction and alcohol, and the impacts of cancer as well. There's a lot of reasons behind why I'm doing Dry July, some personal. Did you want me to talk about those ones, Gareth?
If you're happy to, that's the thing. If you're happy to talk about it, then you know, let's dive into it. If you're not, that's okay too.
Yeah. I guess personally I've had to overcome years of addiction and learn how to live again for myself, unpacking a lot of trauma that's been caused from events, whether they were impacts from my own use or the use and the impacts from other people's alcoholism as well. A major interaction that I had with the impacts of alcohol was at the age of 16, I lost a partner in a car accident. And yes, was driving under the influence, and paid the ultimate price, which then resulted in, you know, significant loss and, grief, not only for myself, for his family as well. But living in a small community, it affected the community as a whole. I've also witnessed alcohol steal years of people's lives, not only the ones who were drinking or using the alcohol, but for everybody as a whole.
Yeah. And that's the thing, isn't it, with these sort of things. You mentioned the small community, and it, you know, for those small communities of which a lot of us live in, whenever a tragedy like that occurs, it really does affect the entire community, doesn't it?
It does. It has an effect which I like to refer to as the ripple effect, or, you know, the onion with those lots of layers, you know, knowing that situations not only impact one person, but it grows and it sort of if you are affected, how does it affect other people in your family, and then just you have first responders and things like that too to car accidents, and it just goes the whole way out throughout the community.
Yeah, and it really does, and it takes like you mentioned, it's that ripple effect. It takes a toll on the entire community, and it takes a long time for communities to recover, but also for the individuals who are directly involved, as you know, unfortunately, all too well. You know, there's that trauma that builds up, isn't there?
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of people, we don't know how. Some people, well, I personally didn't know how to deal with that or what to do about it. So it was sort of through the form of self-medication and just trying to function as a general person. But not only in the aspect of losing someone through such situations, my current partner is also, I have watched and supported him to literally learn to walk again. He was also in a car accident, in which involved alcohol use as well, but spent weeks in intensive care, so ICU, and then a long haul in hospital, and countless surgeries as well, which left him obviously with a lot to deal with and the trauma from that as well. So that was a big backer for why he's jumped on board as well. But also we, you know, lost his mother last year to cancer. It was very, unexpected and came out of the blue. They're just some driving forces for why we're doing our Dry July.
I mean, it's, in a way, I think it's good that you guys have managed to turn all those negatives into doing this positive thing. And was that a bit of a driver for you guys as well?
Most definitely, yeah, yep. The biggest, I suppose, eye-opener was we've struggled with addiction for a long time in our lives. The big kicker for us was the impacts and the connection between alcohol and the risks, or the increased risk of cancer as well, sort of just highlighted that for us. We're always open to make changes with our life, and we're always wanting to improve for the reasons of having a young family. And we've got those passions behind it, but the unexpected loss, you see it, definitely hit people for a six. And knowing that we're not alone in that, there's obviously a lot of people out there that are impacted by cancer as well. It's just a pusher that makes you want to do something to help.
Yeah, and look, full credit to you and your team for doing this as well. You know, I said earlier, and having hit that fundraising goal is brilliant. You mentioned about that there are links between alcohol and cancer, and you know that's out there. But for you and your partner, like we mentioned, we're 11 days in. How are you both feeling, sort of physically, doing Dry July? Were you like drinkers prior to, like, you know, not just the occasional drink, but were you, you know, social drinkers before doing this?
I myself struggled with addiction of other types. I did for a long time abuse my own body with alcohol, but alcohol is something that I have seen predominantly run throughout my family as well. And my partner is a big thing for him. It's been a coping mechanism that it did increase a little bit more, I will say. And I'm sure that he won't mind me talking about it lightly around the loss of his mum. And I suppose after his accident as well, it sort of just spiraled, and you see that it slowly gets out of hand. Never to a point where we've not been able to say, okay, this is, we need to do some work on this. Personally, like I said, it's not been a great mission for me to not be drinking this Dry July. But in the social aspect, of course, who doesn't want to go out and have a couple of drinks here and there, especially on a Friday night? It's just the culture of Australia, isn't it? But for, you know, those after work, you want to sit down and have a couple of beers or anything like that, it's been a bit of a push for him, and it's been nice to be able to support him through that.
You mentioned the culture stuff, and I don't drink. I haven't drank. Even the last few years, I didn't even have a Guinness on Paddy's Day. So I'm not a drinker. I haven't been for probably a decade or more. It was really interesting and I'll tell a bit of a personal story here because I worked in the Northern Territory for a year. And where I worked, I was, you know, only one of two Australian born people in the place and the only male. And people couldn't believe that me being an Australian guy that I didn't drink, because that's just the impression that people get of Australians. And that's so ingrained in culture, and you see it everywhere. You know, like local footy clubs, or like you mentioned, people going out for a drink on a Friday after work. This is a bit left field, a bit off. I know you've got a cheat sheet there because you want to be really prepared. Just spoiler for anyone listening. But do you think that things like Dry July might actually help people sort of get in their mindset that I don't need to be going and having a drink, a beer or a wine or a scotch, whatever, to have a good time?
Definitely, yeah. And I can't speak for everybody on my team, but I do know that there's just those people who are doing it for the simple reason that they don't want to be doing that. They don't want to be going out and not being able to have fun without the alcohol sort of being knitted into the part of our society, which it really is. And it's so socially acceptable and it's readily accessible, which makes it hard. It's knitted into work cultures within Australia as well, which I think is something we really need to address as well. But being able to identify the different things that you can do on a Friday night, you know, you get together and you have, you know, let's have a cook-off, or, you know, we'll have a games night instead, and they don't need to be fueled by alcohol, just having the good old laugh that you can actually remember and not have to suffer the next day with a hangover.
Yeah, do you know what? I often tell people, I used to go to a lot of music festivals when I was younger because, you know, I'm old now. And I used to see people who had spent $200-$300 on tickets to music festivals, and they would spend the whole day at the bar and wipe themselves out. And I thought, man, I've paid good money to come here and watch Iron Maiden. I want to remember this. I don't want to be, you know, thinking, oh, which bands did I see that for? To me, I never understood that, but I have seen it up close. And it's interesting, we talked about people not doing it, and I don't think she'll mind me mentioning this. My sister-in-law did Dry July last year and hasn't gone back to drinking at all. If she does, it's alcohol-free beer, which is becoming a big thing. A lot more people are taking that up, as what I've heard. So in your work at GCH, how much do you see alcohol playing a part in what in the people that you see?
Massive, yeah. So alcoholism is huge across the board, especially in the regional areas. It's something that we see come through in a lot of the programs that we do. Those who don't know, I facilitate alongside my co-worker a alcohol and drug rehabilitation non-residential program, and it is something that we see a lot of. Yeah, and the impacts of it, it's not just personal, it's, you know, that ripple effect. You see it affecting, you know, whether it be family, their friends, their employment. There's so many different aspects of it.
Let's talk about some of the things that alcohol does to your body, and the way that it can really affect you. I mean, we spoke briefly about the cancer stuff. It's really horrible for your mental health, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's terrible for your mental health. It just slows down the connections between your brain and your body. Anybody with underlying conditions as well, you know, it's going to predominantly pull them out. You know, you've got the aspects around and the impacts on your liver and your heart and the connection between the alcohol and the like cancers of your throat as well, so the esophagus and things like that. You know, you do drink the alcohol, so it's, you know, the constant touching in there, and, you know, the possibility of stomach lining issues as well. You know, it just goes on and on. It's very highly connected to like pancreas cancer as well, and just ties right through to your body, your bowel as well, obviously passes right through your system. The issues with around your blood levels as well, that can be impacted, but mental health is significant.
Yeah, and even things like your sleep patterns can affect that from memory too.
Yeah, definitely. Yes, so sleep hygiene is something that you really do need to be aware of. You know, we stay up really late, we think we're having a really good time, and then we want to sleep the next day, and there's a reason for that. Our body hasn't got the rest that we need to recuperate.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing that when we talk about just how ingrained it is in society, we know all this stuff. I mean, this is not new to anyone. I mean, the talk about the dangers of alcohol has been out there forever. And look, we'll mention this as well. GCH isn't an abstinence service. We're harm minimization.
Definitely.
So, you know, we don't want people to come out and say, look, don't go and have a drink. I mean, if you want to go and have a couple of quiet drinks, that's, you know, with some friends or a glass of wine over dinner, go for your life. What we sort of say is don't be going and wiping yourself out every weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. You know, you do need to be aware too that if alcohol is something that you have been struggling with, we don't suggest you to just stop. It can be really dangerous. That's why we do have a lot of services within GCH. We've got some wonderful nurses who can assist with that. And obviously going and speaking to your GP as well. You know, our bodies get, I'm going to say climatised, it's the wrong word, but I'm going to say climatised to the alcohol being in our body, and when we don't have it in our system, we kind of go into a freak out and shut down, and it can be very dangerous.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I remember talking to one of our nurses about this. We weren't talking about alcohol necessarily. I think we were talking about other drugs. And yeah, we talked about it like as if you're going to be running a marathon. You don't just wake up one morning and say, I'm going to run a 20K marathon.
Yeah,
you have to build up to it, you know, like anything. And I don't know if people realize that, you know, it's not easy to just go cold turkey on this stuff, is it?
No, there are some wonderful steps to take as well. And I guess it's, having those discussions and what works for some people may not work for other people. There are a lot of supports out there. So if I can suggest anything, it would be to reach out and don't ever think that you need to go through anything alone. There's always somebody who can help and support you.
Absolutely. So you've beaten your goal already, your financial goal, which is amazing. Are you going to set a new target to reach? Can we put that out there now that you're setting this new target and let's get people to donate?
Look, I'd love to see us reach 2,000. Our original target was 750 as a team, and we're sitting currently at 1,616. So I think to reach 2,000 would be pretty cool. And it can go towards some wonderful things for the cancer councils and cancer patients and just people who are generally connected and need some support.
So that was going to be my next question. Where does the money actually go for Dry July?
Yep, so it goes through a lot of different organisations. It all stays within Australia. A couple of the, I suppose the organisations is the word I'm looking for there. Sorry, I had a bit of a brain freeze. A few of the organisations that it does go through to are the McGrath Foundation. You're looking at Bowel Cancer Australia, the Leukemia Foundation, Cancer Council, Ovarian Cancer and Prostate Cancer Foundation. And the funds go towards information and support services, specialist cancer nurses, support with accommodation and transport for people who are impacted, and that might mean their families as well, not generally their patient themselves, support and comfort items, and just cancer centre improvements overall, Gareth.
Excellent. So the money's going to a fantastic bunch of organisations and great causes, and it's also doing something good for yourself, mentally and physically.
Yeah, so the benefits of doing Dry July overall, obviously we did touch on that briefly before, but it's the better or improved health, both physically and mentally. You're going to raise money, you can save your own money as well if you're not actually participating in Dry July, but we are overall trying to raise some money towards it. You improve relationships, and that can not necessarily just be the intimate relationships that you have, but relationships with work colleagues and friends, and it's the team that you're building as well. Improves family connection, making it easier to communicate. You have a clearer thought pattern as well. There may be some days that are difficult, but the best thing to do is to reach out to each other and connect and talk. Your improved quality of sleep. Your mind is obviously going to be clearer. You're going to have better cognition. And the decrease of the risk of tolerance and dependence on alcohol as well is a massive game changer.
Yeah, absolutely. And if people do something like Dry July and it then leads to them saying, look, you know, I don't need to be drinking as much as I am or at all, it will clear up space in our overworked health system as well, which will be handy too.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Amy, I know you've got your cheat sheet there, as I mentioned earlier. I'm really pulling the curtain back on this one. Is there anything that else that you'd like to mention before I let you go and do some of your actual job instead of just chatting to me?
Look, I guess I can touch on a few different things. I suppose if we look at our chat briefly around the National Health and the Medical Research Council, you know, they recommend that any person not have any more than 10 standard drinks within a week. You're looking at no more than 4 standard drinks in one day to reduce the risk of harm of alcohol-related diseases. In noting on that the liver is only going to get rid of approximately 1 standard drink per hour, so sticking to those, one drink in the first hour and so on can be really important. I don't know how many stats you'd like, Gareth.
I love stats. I'll take as many as you want, or as many as if you don't want to rail stats at us, that's fine, but I'm a stat geek.
You're a stat geek. That's lovely. So I suppose I'll start with the Dry July campaign. It was born from 3 fellas who decided they were going to go into a pub and they thought, we don't want to drink anymore. We wanted to raise the money, and they donned that Dry July, and they raised money to buy a TV for the local waiting room at one of their cancer clinics. And smashing that out of the water, it was born in 2008 and raised over $82 million to support people affected by cancer. So that's huge just in itself.
That's amazing.
But according to the Australian Drug Foundation, growing research on the links between cancer and alcohol, they've discovered the strong, consistent evidence that alcohol can cause cancer. So it's not necessarily going to give you cancer, but it's going to increase your risk of developing cancers. And 740,000 cancer cases are estimated to be caused by alcohol globally, and that was in 2020 alone. So that's a huge number of cases that have been linked very clearly with alcohol.
I wonder if that's gone up since, you know, that was 2020 and we had 2 years of COVID where we had all the lockdowns and people were stuck at home, and if people are by themselves in their own heads, you could get takeaway alcohol, I believe, during the COVID times.
Yeah, and that's another part of it being so socially acceptable and readily accessible, Gareth, is that our mobile phones can become our bottle shop, which unfortunately causes a lot of people to become socially isolated, which impacts again on their mental health.
Mm. I'd be interested to see figures from 21 and 20 combined. I think I'm just talking about anecdotally. I just think that it would be a little bit higher than that now, sadly.
I think that you're probably right with that one.
Yeah, I hope I'm wrong there.
It would be nice to be wrong, but I feel that that might be highly correct. Another part of Dry July for me, having lost a partner fatally, is that just noting that 1 in 10 deaths of Australian teenagers, 14 and 17, are related to the consumption of alcohol. Now, knowing that our legal age limit of drinking alcohol is 18, a lot of people do dabble before then. Just those stats alone are pretty scary.
Very scary. And it's a rite of passage as a teenager in this country, isn't it?
Yeah. A big part of it is, let's go out. You're 18 now. Let's go to the pub.
Even if you're not 18, even if you're 15 or 16, you go to a party or younger.
Yep. And it's unfortunate, but it's... We see it everywhere. 30% of young Australians also aged between 18 and 24 were the most likely, like we were just touching on, to drink 11 or more drinks on one occasion. So that's well above the weekly suggested standards, and that's just on one occasion.
Wow.
We look at binge drinking within our culture, it can be quite daunting.
Yeah, and it's probably more... And we know it's widespread, but I would even say it's more prevalent than what people think.
Definitely, yeah.
I think you go to any town across Australia and any weekend and you'll find it happening in pubs or backyards or anywhere.
Yes, yeah. So if I can encourage anything, it's just let's keep our young ones safe and tell them we'll go out and make some memories and not just hand them a drink.
Oh, yeah, yes, absolutely. Well done. That's a great sentiment. I'm going to steal that.
Yeah, go for it.
When my kids are a bit older. So, cause look, and we're both parents and, it is something that I sometimes think about. My kids are are still primary school age, and I think about when they get to those sort of teenage high school years, and you think, man, what's going to happen? You know, what pressures are out there, and it is worrying. So that's a good little line I'm going to use, and I'll credit it. I'll be like footnote little Amy Sinclair.
That's okay. Now we borrow the earth from them, so we better look after them. Well, you know, otherwise they won't be able to look after earth.
Exactly. Amy, I know you were very nervous before you did this. Have you enjoyed coming on the podcast?
I have enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
Excellent. It's been my pleasure, and I reckon we can do a follow-up podcast with you another time. So thank you for coming on the Communities of Internet podcast.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
Thanks again, Amy, for being part of the Communities of Internet podcast and speaking about your reasoning for doing Dry July, and that was some quite personal stuff in there. So I really appreciate Amy sharing that, and I thank you for that too. As I said, there will be a link in the show notes where you can donate to Amy for Dry July and raise some money for some fantastic organisations that Amy mentioned during the show. Thank you once again, Amy, for being part of it. So the Communities of Internet Name podcast, of course, brought to you by Grampians Community Health, and we offer a massive, massive range of services right across Western Victoria. We cover a big area, including the Bullock Shire, Yarriambiack Shire, Hindmarsh Shire, West Wimmera Shire, Horsham Shire, Northern Grampian Shire, Central Goldfield Shire, Pyrenees Shire, Arrot Rural City, and Southern Grampians Shire regions. And we offer services such as alcohol and drug support, which is very topical with the episode we were just speaking about, NDIS and aged care services, including NDIS support, coordination and plan management, and aged care home care package support, family violence services, generalist counselling across a wide range of areas, mental health support, a lot of amazing services here at Grampians Community Health. For more information, go to our website, which is gch.org.au. You can find us on our social media platforms as well, facebook.com/Grampians Community Health, or just type Grampians Community Health into the search bar on your Facebook page. And we're on Instagram and Snapchat at GCH Grampians. You can also find our offices, if you'd rather come and see us in person, in Stall, Ararat and Horsham, or you can give us a call Monday to Friday, 5358 7400. The intro and outro music is an original composition performed by Andrew Parsons, and we use that with his permission, and we give him our thanks. You can find this podcast and every other episode of the podcast on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, on Podbean, iHeart, anywhere you get your podcasts from. Anywhere good podcasts are found, you'll find this podcast too. And this podcast was recorded and produced on the traditional lands of the Jabiru people, and we pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging. Well, that's another episode in the books. The Communities of Internet podcast. Don't forget to check out the GCH Podcast Network. You can find all the shows on this feed, including GCH Green and the Our Community is Able podcast, hosted by Letitia Stevens, where Letitia talks disability. And it's three shows under her belt, I think. I'll have to check in with Tisha on the next one's due. So there's plenty of good stuff coming out from the GCH Podcast Networks. Keep an eye on your podcast feeds and make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. My name is Gareth Olver. This has been the Communities of Internet Name podcast. Thank you once again for joining me, and I'll talk to you again very shortly. So on behalf of everyone here at Grampians Community Health who are here for you, your family, and our community, I will say thank you and so long.